Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Artists Helping Artists. We are the number one art show on Blog Talk Radio. This is Leslie Seda in South Pasadena, and my co-host Margaret Sheldon from Boston is on the line. Good morning.
I am. Good morning. How are you
How
doing?
How are you? I'm good. It's raining cats and dogs today. It's raining so hard. It's unbelievable.
I think this is good for all of you.
It's fantastic.
Do.
It's wonderful.
We're going to get a lot more sympathy going forward, those of us who live with this.
Yes.
Of course, that means you don't get much sympathy from us. We're like, yeah, deal with it.
I know. It just rained. Really?
I know.
For those of you in Seattle, that have had snow, a foot of snow for a week, I am worried about you because you have no snow plows. You have nothing to deal with the weather. So it's a little crazy.
Yeah. It's funny. I remember being, I hate to date myself, but I will. We had a rather famous blizzard here in the late 70s. And I remember they sent extra snow moving equipment from Buffalo, New York to Boston.
Oh, you're kidding.
It was like,
smart.
No, and it was the National Guard that was operating it. But they had to figure out a way to move, 7 feet of snow. So.
Mm-hmm.
I think
Wow. Friends
share with friends. Yeah. So. Anyway, we're not having any of that. I'm feeling, even though there's snow on the ground, I like have this springtime itch happening. And I think, honestly, it's because the days are getting longer. And when I don't know, maybe when you're getting up and you're going to an office or whatever it is you do every day, you don't, you're not as keenly aware. But now that I work, from home and I've got this studio at home, I find if the sun is shining, boy, I bet 40% more productive.
Oh, absolutely.
It just charges me up. And so for that reason, for the lengthening of the days, I'm very happy right now. It feels good.
Yeah.
And,
I totally agree.
I don't know. I hope all of the artists that listen to the show are out there sort of plotting out their year, because I kind of had to this year because we're doing a lot of travel and there's a few workshops I didn't tell you. I got into a workshop that, all right, I'll confess. I saw this on the artist website. Oh, I'm going to teach only 3 weeks this year and I'm going to do it by lottery. So toss your name in the hat and see if you get lucky. And I thought, I'll never get in. But I tossed my name in and I am delighted to tell you that I am going to paint for a week, or almost a week, with Colin Page this fall.
No way.
Yes.
That is fantastic.
When we interviewed him, and that was a few years ago now, I just was so taken with him. And of course, I adore his paintings. And I thought, when I saw that listed, I thought, boy, if there's somebody I would love to, I would love to just watch him paint and kind of get inside his head. You can only hope that some of that will come through your own brush. But I thought, what the heck? I have a sister-in-law that lives right up there. I can do this. So, yes. How about
that? Wow.
I feel like my whole year is planned out, Leslie.
Well, that's awesome. That's so great.
Yeah,
I'm so happy for you.
Well, thank you. I am too.
That's going to be amazing. Where's the workshop going to be?
He has, I'll give Colin a nice plug now. He has just opened his own gallery in Camden, Maine, which Camden, Maine has to be one of the prettiest towns anywhere. Anybody who's ever come to the East Coast, especially in summer, and gone up to Maine, Camden is just beautiful and very hilly and lovely and whatever. But I saw he's opened up his own gallery now. It's the pagegallery.com, actually. Give him a plug. And I think it's, not a bad move. It's very wise. So he'll not only be able to teach out of the space, but he's going to be able to, he's got just maybe three artists, including himself, that he'll be hanging and showing right now. But it's the perfect location. It's, where he lives. I get it. This is an artist who's making his life and supporting his family with his beautiful art. And, how great is it to see someone do that?
Oh, that's awesome. Congratulations.
I just love it.
I'm so happy for you.
Yeah,
all right,
Colin.
Well, let's get into today's show.
Yeah, let's.
And we have to give, I have to give Polly Gentry credit for this because she said to me when Margaret and I were on the phone, she was like, Leslie, really quickly, if you had to start all over again, what would you do on Instagram? And I'm like, really quickly? And I said, I'm going to do a show on that.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is the real truth about how to grow your Instagram account. Now, I'm not telling you I know everything by any means, but it's been just under 2 years. And it's gone really well. And I, for those of you that don't know, I started an account called My 100-Year-Old Home on February 20th. The only reason why I know that is I just looked it up because I knew I was getting close. And it's grown really fast. It's taken over my life, and it's been an amazing experience. So I thought it would be fun to, you know, and to think about, a lot of people say, oh, would you do this all over again? And I always say no. And that's because it's one of the hardest things I've ever done, and I have worked so hard. I mean, this has not been something that just happened. I mean, I have been on my phone way too much, and, you know, I do little things when my husband walks in the door at night. I throw my phone across the room and act like I haven't been on it just because I think it's really rude when you're with someone and they're on their phone the whole time. I mean, they kind of, like, aren't with you. But if I was going to do it all over again, and do this just for my art, I'm going to share what I would do because I think that's important. And so if most of you listening to this show, obviously including you, Margaret, you're not listening, you're here, but you all have Instagram accounts, and most people aren't happy with how they're growing because they want them to grow. And it's think about yourself and your account and what you can do as I'm going through all of this. But I have to tell you a funny story. It was a very interesting week with Instagram. I don't know when it was. One day last week, I passed 200,000 followers, which is, it's not all about followers, but it is if you're trying to work with brands, because brands care about what your following is, because that has to do with how many people would then see something you may be sharing, and you can raise your prices as you get larger and da-da-da-da. And it's a bit of an ego thing to past big milestones.
Sure.
So I was so excited, and I didn't say anything until I had like 200,000 and 200, because they can go up and down. And you don't want to say, oh, I hit 200,000 and have it go down, because it's kind of embarrassing. So Tuesday night, my girlfriend frantically calls me, and she goes, you only have 198,000 followers. I'm like, what? And I look on my account, and I'm like, oh, you're right. And at that point, I was at 201,000. And
right.
I was like, what happened? So, of course, all the chatter starts. And it wasn't just me. It was everyone. And I had friends who were bigger than me and losing 5,000 and 20,000. And I was reading online that some famous movie stars were losing hundreds of thousands of followers. So all these rumors started. I'm not going to bore you with all the details. Finally, Instagram says there's a glitch and we're going to fix it. And so all day yesterday, I would either be at 201 or 198. And I was laughing because of all the times when your Instagram account goes down, I would have to have mine at a point where there's kind of a big milestone. Where if I had had 58,000 and I went down to 55,000, who would notice? Who would care? But I was laughing. And so many people were so devastated and so upset. And I was like, what's the deal? So what? I'll get back at it. I get to celebrate all over again. My kids will all have to call me and say, congrats, Mom, you did it.
And oh, I love it.
So my message here, and everyone thought I was weird. Everyone's like, how can you say that? Aren't you upset? And I'm like, whatever. And here's the key. I said, I can't control it. And that is a message everyone needs to understand about Instagram. It's not our platform. It's somebody else's. The big rumor was that Instagram had gone through and they were getting rid of fake accounts and accounts that where people had bought followers, and they had an algorithm that could get rid of all those bad people. And when that happened, if they were following you and their account went away, your following count would go down. It's not anything negative that I did. It's just I had bots or whatever they're called, fake accounts following me. But
yeah.
I think why everyone was so upset was because of the volatility. and that they can't control it. And everyone says someday Instagram's going to go away. It's not going to be the most popular. It's going to be kind of like what's happened to Facebook. And that is really scary. So I want to preface this whole show on the fact that there's a chance Instagram's not going to be here in a couple of years. And it's probably more than likely, or it will be different. And so as much as I've spent all this time on Instagram, this year I am spending more time on my blog because I own my blog. Mm-hmm. It's my domain. It's on WordPress. And I want to make sure I have that so when and if it changes, I don't have to start completely over. And I think that's
right.
Why so many people were freaked out, is it wasn't that they lost 5,000 or 20,000 followers. Well, maybe it was. But it was more of the fact that this was the first time they felt like they weren't in control and they realized that someone else owns Instagram, not them.
You know, I did see on Jenna Kutcher's Instagram where she basically said, everybody just chill out. And if you want to know what I think about this, I mean, she's got, you know, probably a million, I don't know, followers.
Right.
She's enormous. And so I wanted to read her post and I clicked on it and she said, first of all, you have to change the way you think about your Instagram account. You don't own it. You're just sort of renting the space.
Exactly.
I thought,
yeah.
And she said, she doesn't focus on how many followers she has at all. She said, I focus on my email list because that's what I own and that's what I use to. And again, you've said this before, Leslie, and I think if people did have, you know, the fake accounts drop or whatever, it's a good reminder. Like, don't lose your focus, even if it's, let's face it, it's more work and it's less fun. But your blog, your email list, those are yours. And I think this is a great lesson to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
So
it really is. And
I get it.
Here's the other thing. I think this journey, because it's been so crazy, if I would have really cared about who unfollowed me and all that, I mean, people have apps that show them who unfollowed them. Why would I ever do that? That would make me depressed and sad and hurt. I would never.
Actually, it doesn't. Speaking
okay,
of
I know, because we've had this conversation because you have it.
Yeah.
But I don't want to know.
Yes.
I know how much those things bother me when they really shouldn't. That's me,
right.
A personal thing. So I would never,
right.
I don't pay attention. I don't even notice. I honestly don't look unless I'm trying to hit a milestone. That's when I check how many followers I have. But as the journey goes on, I just know it's growing and I'm happy and who cares? So that's kind of my advice, but do understand this is the most incredible, powerful sales tool that's out there. And I 100% think that you need to do it right because it can be amazing. It can be amazing. So if I can make a six-figure income because of my Instagram account, awesome. Can I make money also on my blog? Absolutely. So it's a great thing. So I'm going to go through today kind of like if I was doing this and all my tips for how to set up an art account. Forget my 100-year-old home. That doesn't matter. That's there. I've done it, and I've learned a ton. So first thing is, and this is with anything you do in marketing, is you have to know who your audience is. Because ideally, for me, it would be artists, since I teach, and anyone who buys art. And you have to have that goal in mind always. You can't forget, because if you just think Instagram and there's a billion people out there you're going to go for, you can't do any target marketing and you're never going to succeed. You have to be more focused. You really do. And the reason about that is because of hashtags. And hashtags are something that are crazy powerful. Instagram, I don't know how long ago it was, 6 months to a year, allowed you to follow hashtags. So I follow the hashtag farmhouse. So on my feed, anyone that uses that hashtag, they show up on my feed. So it's a way to get out there to people who don't follow you, but they follow a hashtag. So if you paint barns, you could you need to go do a little research and figure out what the hashtag is for barn paintings and find one that's big. And you just start, you know, in Instagram, you just start typing in the search call them hashtag barn paintings and see what comes up. And then you'll and once you figure it out, try that hashtag and see how it goes. It is a way, I mean, I have some Instagram posts where I can look at the insights on any of my posts, and it'll show me how many people found me from hashtags. And there are times when over 100,000 people found me from my hashtag.
Wow.
On average, I probably have 50,000
wow.
on every post that find me because of hashtags. And those people, they find you and they see you and they're like, oh, that's a great painting. I want to follow them. That is probably, that is a huge tool that's out there that people totally don't understand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I really understood it till just now.
Yeah. It's really, the way you do this too is when you think about who is your audience, you have to put yourself in the footsteps of who your audience is. So I would say, because I teach, I would say, okay, I want to take a workshop. If I was on Instagram, how would I find that? I might type,
right.
I might do a hashtag, plein air workshops. Yeah, look, that's a really popular one. Go to Colin Page's account and see what hashtags he uses and copy them. Don't reinvent the wheel. Go to the people who you think are kicking it and doing really well and find those hashtags and try them. My hashtags, I don't think I came up with a single one. I found them from other people
wow.
who were super successful. And then the stories about whether or not you need to change, I never change my hashtags. I have 29 hashtags that I use text replacement on my phone. And if you don't know what that is, you have to look it up. Because I just so you know how it works, I type in the first comment on every one of my posts, hashtag tags. As soon as I type that, all my hashtags type up or pop up. I don't have to type them or copy and paste them. It's something called text replacement. It's on my iPhone, so look that up. It'll save you so much time. And then I have one extra one that I can use. Sometimes I'll do a post and I'll put some ones in because maybe I'm doing a collaboration or something and I might have to take one or two out of the 29 that I use. But I never change them because they're working so well.
That's great.
So, but put yourself in the eyes of your buyer. So let's say you paint boat paintings. So you need to figure out the people who like boat paintings. There's got to be some hashtags that they follow. And this is how
right.
you reach the audience of people that you never in a million years would reach without hashtags. So
wow.
super important. So know who your audience is and kind of focus on them. And I'm not going to say anything else. I think I made it perfectly clear. Okay. The next is...
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
No, I'm just laughing because the whole time, you know, I start thinking, oh, I wonder which hashtags I should, like, follow. Like, all of this means you've got to sit down and do the research. Like,
sure.
otherwise you're just wasting your time is what my takeaway
100%.
is. 100%. Research it and get it right. Yeah. Okay.
My goal this year is to be smarter, not work harder, because I can't work any harder than I did last year. And I don't want to work as hard as I did last year. I'm trying to be smarter, and this is what I'm hoping this show is going to do for everybody. Okay,
good.
Next. And if you can only listen to this show for 5 minutes, the next 2 points you have to hear. You have to give your followers a reason to follow you. Anyone, and when I say follow you, I'm also going to say engage with you. Because anybody can look at your feed. They can swipe by, look, but what is it that's going to cause them to stop and either like or read what you actually wrote and comment because that's the key is getting people to engage. Today I wrote a post on, it's a picture of some fake tulips in light. It's a great photo. And I wrote a post how these are beautiful, but they're not real. They're not expensive. And when I'm talking about when you decorate in a home, you can decorate with things you find on a curb, things you find at a flea market, things you make yourself, hand-me-downs, and it makes your house beautiful. It doesn't cost a lot of money. And so many people are reading that and reacting and saying, oh, my gosh, that's so true. And it's just something that's really important to me. You want to be able to grab someone who reads your post and go, wow, I agree with that. And it's not hard to do, but it's all about this one premise. Instagram isn't about showing. It's about sharing. You can post pictures of your art over and over and over and over, boop-de-doop. But if you share and teach your followers about something, they're going to want to come back. And if you only just show, you're not, it's not going to work. Instagram is not a website. Instagram is social media. It's where you engage with people. So you need to completely rethink about how you're doing your Instagram, and don't show but share. Because people, like I said, you want them to go, it's kind of like FOMO, fear of missing out. You want them to have that feel, FOMO, that if they don't go to your feed, they're going to miss out on something really great. And that,
so true.
And that isn't as hard to do as it seems. But you really have to think about it. And it's really, really important. And so you need to do more of the why I do it, how I do it, instead of the here it is. And you need to think about your audience. And you need to, I mean, it's kind of a broad appeal, but you need to, I mean, that's why on my 100-year-old home, I do so many DIYs and cooking things, and I teach people what I do, because they feel like if they come to my feed, they're going to learn something from me. I'm not just going to say,
right,
here is a picture of my kitchen, whoop-de-doop. And
yep,
that is the difference between night and day, and I think that is 100%, well, maybe 90%, the reason why my account has grown so fast over the last 2 years. And
it's amazing.
You
know what? You said one thing. I just want to really sort of underscore, at least in my own head. You said, you know, it's not a website. It's social media. Because
yeah,
when I think about the sites that I look forward to or the stories that I will click on, because let's face it, you know, a year ago there were only a couple of those stories at the top of your page.
Right.
Now when you open it up, you could swipe forever and keep seeing them. And there's, I tend to do it because I like the people. If I like the personality, you know, and again, there it goes to that social part of the media. Or if it's somebody who I think, ooh, I often check this one out because they said I never know I'm going to be as interested as I am. I start to trust their choice of what they're going to share. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
It's like,
ooh,
what she got today? And if I'm interested, I stick around, but I don't unfollow them, that's for sure.
Yeah, and the thing is, I didn't know this when I first started. It took me like a year to figure all this out. But somehow I kind of was doing it. I think it's just my nature of always wanting to teach and share, and I never got the memo. You're supposed to hold back. We've talked about that a lot, Margaret. So it's kind of in me, and then I finally thought, oh, that's why this is going so well. So the other thing about social media is engagement. And you need, if you want people to engage with you, you have to engage with them. And something that I'll never forget, I had a huge fight with my youngest son sitting right here on the couch I'm sitting on right now. And he was like, Mom, you spend way too much time on your phone. And I'm like, Michael, it's my job. It's my job. But why do you comment on everyone? And I said, because if they're going to take the time to comment on my feed, I want to comment back. But that's ridiculous. You spend hours doing it. So I have always had a belief that if someone's going to engage with me, I'm going to engage with them. And here's why. If someone thinks that you're actually listening and reading what they write, then they will engage with you. If they think you don't give a you-know-what and you never respond, why would they engage with you? And I've had so many people say, I cannot believe that you answer my direct messages every time. And it's, and I do. And they're like, your account is so big. How do you have time to do this? Now, what, what I've had to do now is I've said I try to answer comments like within the first, kind of in the first day. I mean, I had one post that had 1,000 comments. There's no possible way I could ever answer all of those. But I do try to answer a lot of them in the beginning. And it's just something because I really enjoy it. I mean, people are so nice, and I love the interaction. And it tells me a lot about what I'm talking about and what they like and other questions that they have. And so you have to engage. You have to. And you have to let them know that you care that they're engaging. And just need to make sure that you engage in a lot of different ways, because you need to engage in comments, you need to engage with direct messages. And a lot of times, sometimes like someone will say, can I send you photos of my kitchen so you can help me remodel it? And
what do you
obviously
say?
I don't have the time to do that. And I'll say, no, but go to my blog and you can see all my blog posts about how I did my kitchen. So you can also kind of redirect some of those,
yes,
those comments in a nice way and still respond. But
mm-hmm.
most people, and sometimes people just go on and on and on and on, and I do just stop engaging because there's no way I have the time. But
yeah,
you just need to engage. And you need to engage as much as you can. Whatever you decide, if you've got five kids running around the house or whatever it may be, you're not going to be able to engage as much as I do. That is 100% fine. Just don't feel guilty about how much you think you're not engaging. That's really important.
Right.
Because this will drive you
right.
crazy. Absolutely. Do as much as you can, and people will understand. So, okay.
That's a good one.
Post regularly. And, Margaret, interrupt me because, you know, I have all these notes. So,
I know.
Interrupt me.
I'm going to say this one I've been dying for you to get to. We're going to talk about how often you post. And then I'm going to tell you the problem I have with people that post too much. So,
okay.
You start. I'll counterpoint you.
Okay, one thing I have to remember, when I first started, I posted once a day. Consistency is really important. So people who know you, they'll learn when you post. So if you post all different times during the day and you change around and everything, they're never going to know when you post. Really, really good engagement on Instagram, 3%. 3% is no one. You think about it, of all the people that follow you.
Right.
Instagram has this algorithm. You can't control it. They get to decide who sees your post. So what you have to do is, number one, don't feel guilty for how much you post, but post regularly.
Right.
For, I would say, after about a couple months, I started posting twice a day. I post in the morning around 7, and I post in the evening around 5. Now, I try to be very consistent. I post 7 days a week, twice every day. And in the beginning, I struggled trying to find things to post. I really, really did. Now I have plenty of things to post. And I will not let you say I don't have anything to post. It just means you're not thinking enough. So you, as an artist, of course you're going to post your art. There is no doubt you're going to post your art. And maybe what you do in the morning every day, you post a new painting or you post an old painting because your engagement's only 3%. If you post a painting 10 times over 2 months, it's not going to matter. People aren't going to go,
right.
Oh, I saw that over and over again. Now, there are some people who are following you and they've turned on the post notifications button, and so they will see you more. So they may be irritated, like Margaret was just alluding to, but but if they
yes.
are, they'll turn that off.
Yeah.
So, but
it's
what you
true.
Have to do, maybe, and maybe it's your evening post, is where you talk about something interesting and you educate and you share, and you talk about how you painted this or how you struggled or how you were frustrated painting plein air and the mosquitoes were biting you everywhere. Or how you saw a rattlesnake, or how you're in your studio and it's raining outside and it's just the coolest thing in the world because you got the music going and the coffee. And I mean, you have to bring people in, and you have to do that, I think, at least once a day. But you don't have to tell everything. So you can spend a whole week talking about how you painted this painting.
Yeah.
Don't give it all in one post. There are so many things that you can post about. And I'm going to give you some tips on how to make that easier. But what were you going to say, Margaret?
Well, I was just going to say, like, I think it's a fine line because I understand the value of, well, let's talk about balance. I understand the value of posting regularly. And I know that you've got tricks that make it easier to do it. But like everything else we talk about, you know, everyone's got to find what works for them in terms of the shoulds, right? I mean, you've got to kind of figure out what you're going to give your energy to. Because as far as I'm concerned, just getting through the day and spending time on your art can fill 24 hours before you know it. So So this is something that you have to be very, I think, mindful of. There are artists who post, I'm sorry, like the same stuff. I want to say boring stuff. And it's because maybe they paint in a very particular style or whatever. But when I start feeling like, I always say they're clogging up my feed.
Mm-hmm.
If I see too much, I go in and I block them. I really
Absolutely.
Do. I take them right off. I don't just block notifications. I'll just say,
mm-hmm.
I can't do this anymore.
Sure.
And I unfollow them.
And you know why,
them.
Margaret? Because they're showing they're not sharing. They're not sharing. They're just showing their art. There's nothing behind it. There's no reason why you even want to read their feed because it's just another painting.
It's just another
And that's
painting.
The problem.
And it's
you
a
can't
lot
do
like
that.
All of the others. Yeah. Okay.
You can't do that.
Well,
you could post the same painting every single day on your Instagram, and if what you wrote was so compelling, people would follow you. Don't do that.
Mm.
I mean, that makes no sense at all. But it's all behind. I want people to come to my feed and say, oh, wow, that's a really great photo, and then read it and go, oh, my gosh, that's amazing. I can't believe I just learned that. That's what you want people. So everybody needs to stop and really think about it. What is it about me that I can offer, that I can share to people out there who I want to attend my workshops, who I want to buy my art? And, you know, everyone's so worried sometimes about showing the how-to. Oh, my gosh. When I can do something and show everyone how to do exactly what I did or even do it better, I know I've got fans forever because they want to see what I have coming up next.
It's that fear of giving away the secret sauce.
There's no way. Yeah, that's not going to work on Instagram.
Yeah.
It's not going to work.
You know what I like? I really appreciate the artists who, you know, post regularly, but then will release a collection of paintings at once. Like they'll say, all right, these six paintings are now for sale, you know, and then they tell you to go to their site. I always like the ones who kind of like group some of their postings. I just think it makes it more, it's like less of a nagging voice and more of a strong statement, but maybe that's just my own personal preference.
Well, I would introduce them all at once and people can scroll through and then over the next few weeks, introduce each painting individually.
That's a great idea, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Yeah,
all right.
And you know, if you have an opening and no one shows up or you have an opening and you don't sell very much, I mean, it's okay to talk about that. It's really hard for people to air their dirty laundry. And you don't have to. You have to do it very carefully. Just be human. There's a lot of things that happen to me that aren't great, and I don't ever share those. But I am very human. I do show my dirty kitchen. And I'll be filming on stories, and I'll turn around, and they'll see this big, huge pile of stuff. And I'll show it. And I'm like, this is my house. This is how it is. And people are like, you're so real, you're so honest. And I'm like, but this is my house. It's like this all the time. And and people really appreciate that, thinking you're not perfect, because my house is far from perfect, far from it.
Plus, I think the audience likes to support the failures, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
Like if you actually said, I had an opening and no one came, I bet you would get a record number of responses that would be encouraging and sympathizing and probably.
As long as you don't write a post that's a pity party. You know what I mean?
Agreed.
It's a very fine line.
You're right.
Some things work and some things don't. You know, however you decide to do it. But don't do the pity party because people can see right through that sometimes. So
that's true.
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing is don't do the journey alone. Find people who are – I have so many women that I talk to every day. I have one gal I talk to three times a day. And we share collaborate. Like if I get a great collaboration, I'll tell her, you got to call this person. You got to work with them.
Uh-huh.
It's a great budget and everything else. And, you know, we commiserate together. She's the one that called me and told me I had 198,000 followers and lost 3,000 followers. I was making heart-shaped pasta and wasn't paying attention to my Instagram account when it happened.
Oh, God.
But to find people.
You could do. Yeah.
Yeah, and then you can commiserate together and you can have ideas and you can do share groups and all those things. So.
And
Okay.
Yeah, you know, that's what makes it fun is having like that new community that to support you. I think that is part of the reward of all this. It's just new connections. Yeah,
definitely. Definitely. There are some kind of rules that you need to follow when you're on Instagram. Edit your photos. You want them all to look kind of similar. I've been kind of bad lately. I've been doing a lot of Valentine's crafts and a lot of Christmas crafts, so all of a sudden there's all this pink and red all over my feed that kind of pops up. But you know what? I don't care.
I love it.
Yeah, I mean, everything else used to be so muted, and personally I think it was boring. But I do go back and archive some posts that just stick out that don't need to necessarily be there, because you do want kind of a sense of continuity. And think about that. You know, if you introduce one painting that's just totally not like the other, think about how you can do it so it doesn't detract from what you're doing, if that makes any sense. And when I talked a little bit about the commenting and answering the direct message, I share other accounts all the time, and I have publicly said my number one and two posts in 2018 were two accounts I shared, not my own pictures. My top two. And here's the thing. People are like, oh, that post did so well, and it wasn't my picture. And I'm like, who cares? You posted well. You got engagement. You're building up your percentage of engagement. It's a good thing. And there are accounts out there that don't have a single picture of their own. All they do is show pretty pictures all month long, and their accounts are doing amazing. Now, of course, you have to tag them in the description. You have to tag the photo because that's the only way they'll see it. And it's a good thing. I know so many people who they share their own thing in the morning, and then in the evening they share somebody else. And they share the most gorgeous pictures, and people love it. And then people are like, oh, my gosh, this is a new account. I want to follow them. This is incredible. And then you become the place where they want to go because they can find great, beautiful new accounts. Or they can find great art because you're sharing it.
Yeah.
So don't get into the collection. Oh, it just has to be me because, you know, they'll go buy someone else's art. I mean, really?
No. Sales to get sales.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing is you need to get in the habit of taking pictures all the time. You have to think that I could use this photo a month from now. You have to be thinking that you need to capture a lot of things. And it's just really important because you'll miss a lot of things.
Do you use your telephone for most of that? You use your iPhone to snap the pictures?
I did forever, and I swore my pictures were just as good as any others. And then I asked for a camera for Christmas, and I got it. And it's one of those ones that wirelessly downloads the photos to my computer and or my phone, which was the number one thing I wanted. And the pictures are so much better. Anything I can take on my iPhone. It's pathetic. But mostly if it's like a picture that has less light, that's where it is huge difference. But do I still take pictures of my iPhone and post it? Absolutely. So you can 100% use your phone and be fine. Unless you take a lot of pictures at night and they're dark and they're hard to edit. You know, then it's a bit of an issue. But no, I did that for 2 years, almost 2 years, just using my iPhone.
That's great.
Yeah. But take pictures always. When I first started, I did some giveaways on my own. I gave away stuff that I had found that other people couldn't find just because I wanted to grow my account. And I didn't even know people did giveaways with other people. I just did them myself. And I was really happy. It was just a pardon?
And did it work?
It did. I mean, you know, I would get maybe 300 followers, and I was thrilled, absolutely thrilled. The whole giveaway thing has changed so much, and if I look back at one thing, I don't know, because my account did grow. It grew by a lot when I did giveaways I did them for a couple months, and I did them with other people. But it's changed so much now, and it's become so commercial. If there is one thing I would change, it would probably be not to ever do giveaways with other people. And the reason is because a lot of people look for giveaways and they follow you because they don't care. They only use their Instagram account for giveaways to win stuff. And so then you have all these people following you that never do anything. And that's where I think you get those fake bot accounts. And
yeah.
So what happens is it hurts your engagement. And as I'm doing more collaborations, more companies want to know what your engagement is. Mine is really high, so I'm fine. But I would just, you know, do some to build your account, but don't do five a week. I mean, that would be, because number one, if you want to have a voice and share, does your audience really want to see these giveaways in your feed? No way. Every time I did one, I was counting the hours down when I could delete it when the giveaway was over. That was when I realized I didn't want to do them anymore. And my account grew so much faster when I stopped doing giveaways. So much faster.
Wow, interesting.
So, yeah.
All right.
I mentioned hashtags. I mentioned posting two times a day.
Wow.
Share groups, we did like a whole show on that.
Oh, yeah.
And to this day, I think it's why my account has grown so much. If you don't know what a share group is, I'll tell you quickly. It's where you have a group of very similar accounts, and maybe it's eight artists, and every week you share a different artist, and they share you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a great way for your followers to find new art. It's a great way for you to be seen by their followers, and it's been amazing for me, absolutely amazing. And I mean, I've had someone share me, and I got 4,000 new followers. I mean, that's crazy.
Holy smokes!
Yeah, it's happened
amazing.
Many, many times, probably like 10 times.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've had people who have huge accounts, and I've shared them, and they've grown thousands. And small accounts that have grown thousands when I share them, and I love that. It makes me so happy. It makes me so happy that I could do that and help someone.
That's terrific.
The other thing is you have to love the journey. It's not about trying to get to a certain number. Granted, it's really great when you can hit 10,000 because then you can use the links for swipe-ups and stories, and it's wonderful. But you have to enjoy the journey. I never said, in 2 years I want to have 200,000 followers. I had no idea. I
right.
think maybe I wanted like 20,000 followers and I would be super happy.
Yeah.
But there's things you can do to enjoy the journey more. I have themes every month. No one really knows it. Sometimes I talk about it on my blog, but I don't like say, okay, here's day three of my theme of comfort in the home. You know, I mean, come on.
Right,
but
it keeps me
organized and more on track. So
you could
have themes for the year like plein air painting, doing quick studies, painting in the studio, teaching workshops, attending workshops, painting a collection, getting ready for a show. And if you have all your themes between now and December, every month you have a theme. Then you can do what's called an editorial calendar. And that's where you actually plan out what you're going to talk about on Instagram. Go figure.
I love it.
What a concept. And it makes your life so much easier. So if this month I was going to do, plein air painting, you can, even if it's horrible weather, you can be sharing photos you took last summer. And you can be talking about plein air painting at the beach 1 week, plein air painting in the mountains 1 week, plein air painting down the street, plein air painting in the middle of the city. And you can talk about it and show about it. And people are going to be like, oh, wow, next week she said she's going to talk about plein air painting at the beach. I can't wait to see. And so see how different that is than just like posting pictures on your Instagram. And
plus,
it's more
it helps
fun for
organize.
You.
Yeah, exactly.
And obviously, if you have a blog, you want to tie it in with your blog. I mean, I do a blog post 4 or 5 days a week. Can you imagine? And
I'm impressed. I you sleep less than I do. That's got to be the difference.
And
but
so what you want to...
If you're sending people to your blog, right, then you're...
Right.
That's growing your email list, right, the thing you own.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I want people to go to my blog because it's like tons of information compared to what's on my Instagram. So it's where I'm like giving you the step-by-step of how you do something or really getting you to think about something or sharing how you make heart-shaped pasta that has fig gorgonzola, you know, whatever. And I'm having fun because you can't do a recipe unless you like make it up yourself. So I'm having so much fun making up my own recipes. It's amazing. never knew how much fun that can be. But anyway, what you want to do is there is a point, and I talked about this a couple times, where you can have ads on your site and you get paid for people who just look at them.
Yep.
I met a gal who was making $20,000 a month from those ads.
Stop.
I was like, what? Huh? Are you kidding me?
Oh,
and
my gosh.
She really got the spark in me, because that is what I call passive income. You kind of just need to write blog posts and do the right thing. But she didn't get it by building her email list. She got it by using perfect SEO, search engine optimization.
Oh, really?
Because you can work on building your email list every day, which is great. And you can have 20,000 people on your email list, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you nail SEO, what that means is someone goes out there and wants to find a heart-shaped pasta recipe, and they Google that, and you pop up. And suddenly, you've got thousands of people out there in the world who live wherever, who search for something, and they see your blog post, and they click on it, and you make money.
Right.
There are
wow.
people who are food bloggers who make millions from these ads every year. It's insane. It's crazy. And if and there, it's such an art. It's a whole new world. And all I will say is know enough about SEO that you're doing it right. Like, don't ever
yeah.
post a picture on your blog that you haven't renamed the picture from the number it got when it, you took it. And so, because people search by images nowadays. And if your images aren't labeled, they'll
right.
never, ever, ever. And I have to go back and fix a year, almost 2 years worth of photos. I haven't done that yet because I never did that.
Oh, gosh.
Didn't know.
Sounds like a job for an intern.
I know. Silly, silly. So I don't even know what I was talking about. I think it was about taking pictures all the time and giveaways. Yes, I mentioned that.
Yeah,
but, oh, no, share groups. That's right. I'm in 5 right now, which is a lot. But the way I do my share groups now is at the beginning of the week on Sunday, I look at who I have to share, and I write all those Instagram posts, and I save them in my phone.
Oh,
how smart
is
that?
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Kind of sit down, knock it all off in one.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then they're there waiting for you, and you can just like go, oh, it's 5 o'clock, I have everything to share. Oh, wait, boom, done.
That's great.
Yeah. And I do that even for posts. When I have a blog post, I finish my blog post, I'll publish it usually around after my husband goes to bed, usually around 10:30. And then the next
Poor
thing
guy.
I do is I write my Instagram post and I save it, and then it's all ready to go in the morning at 7. And I just wake up and
That's
have my coffee and post it. And then there's mornings like today
yeah.
where I had no idea what I was going to post. So, you know, it doesn't work that way all the time.
Well, that's because we're human. Yeah.
Yeah, so true. So true. Okay, so talking about loving the journey, having an editorial calendar, tying it in with your blog, you can also use
sure.
days to organize yourself. You could do a post every Saturday called Saturdays in the Studio and just feature something in your studio. On Tuesdays, you could do one post called Tuesday's Tips. You don't want to do this every day, but it gives you another way to organize yourself.
Right.
And it's kind of a good idea. It's a really good idea. So I'm going to start Tuesdays with TJ's because I'm going to do every other Tuesday a flower arrangement for flowers from Trader Joe's for $20 just to show people.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And everyone has a most people have a Trader Joe's nearby. But I think fresh flowers are such a cool thing to have in your house, and I'm going to do that hopefully starting next week.
Very nice. I'll look for that. Good.
Yeah. There's other tools that we've talked about on the show. One of them is called Linktree. Now, the one thing about Instagram that I hate is you can only have one link to something that you can tap, and the only place you can have that is in your profile. You can't put it in your you can't put it in an individual post. So everyone's like, I only get that one chance. Well, that's not really true. You can sign up for an app called Linktree, Linktree. And what that does is instead of the one link going to your website, it can go to Linktree, which then has like all these different bullet points or boxes of links that you determine. So you could send them to the painting of the day. You could send them to your website. You could send them to your page on workshops. And so it's a way to expand those links to more than just one, which is most likely your website. So I've taken it another step, and I made my own page that looks exactly like Linktree, but it's on my website because I want to get all those hits for my ads. And so I made my own. So when you click the one, I have all the highlights. And I also found a widget that I can use that shows all my recent blog posts on the bottom, so they can just click on those. And those update automatically, which is kind of cool. Yeah.
That's very cool.
So that's, that works very well. Yeah. I do want you to understand that you can make a lot of money doing this. You can obviously sell art. You can fill workshops. You can do... the thing that I'm not doing, and people are really getting on me for it, saying, Leslie, I know you give away everything for free, but why don't you have like some downloadable for $1.99 or whatever it may be, how-tos? I mean, why don't you sell that information? Because people, you give away so much information, you can sell that for a small amount, get their email address to add to your blog because that's how they get it, and you could make money. And I was like, I guess I could. But I'm thinking, when am I going to have time to do that? But anyway, it's something to think about, especially as an artist. Oh, my gosh. You can do that.
Except I think there's a lot to be said for giving it away. And I truly believe you'll get the following anyway. Because
true. And I would never go all that way, but maybe I would do one a month. You know what I mean?
Compared to the
100 posts I do that give everything away for free.
Yeah. All right.
And so it's kind of a smart thing to do. And as an artist, you have so much to offer. And you can come up with things like, you can do worksheets that people can use to mix paint or color wheel. I mean, it can be really basic. And maybe it's just you're giving them away for free, but you're building your email list by doing that because they have to sign up, obviously
that's
they have
true.
To give you their email. But you can also work with brands. And I know I have reached out, probably to as many brands as have reached out to me. Mm-hmm. And so the collaborations have been unbelievable. And in the art world, there's so many companies that you can collaborate with. And companies are now realizing that working with, even though I hate the word influencers. I hate that word. I'm like a sharer. I'm not an influencer. If huge paint company can have artists share why they love the paint or share why they love the brushes or share why they love the canvas, whatever it may be, they know that you've got the perfect audience. It's so much less expensive than any other form of advertising. And it doesn't matter if you have 5,000 followers or 500,000 followers. Both work. There is a difference on how much money you'll likely get paid. And when I first started, I did all my collaborations for free stuff. And I was thrilled.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I still do collaborations for free stuff, but we're talking like a company that gives me an entire room of furniture. So, I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing. And then I talked about the ads on your blog. I mean, the potential is just crazy. Absolutely crazy. Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about Instagram stories. Because I was afraid to use stories for like 6 months when I first started because I was intimidated by them. And I don't like to show me. I'd much rather show the material that my blog and my Instagram is about.
Sure.
And I realized that's totally fine. I don't have to show me. And so many people, for some reason or another, love my voice. I'm not sure why. But they're like, it's just so calming and it's so fun. And when I finally realized that stories was just being me and being truthful and funny and human and whatever, people have been amazing. It's been incredible.
Aww.
And I love doing stories because it's just a way for people to get to know me in addition to how I write. And it's the best way to share. And in a lot of cases, you'll get more engagement and more followers and more interaction with your stories than you will with your feet.
Yeah.
So do
people
not
start there.
Do not ignore stories. I get in the car and I'll just press my first story and I'll just have them go playing like TV or something in the background. I don't watch them. I just listen to them. I do that all the time. I'm one of those people that has to have activity going on at all times. You probably figured that out, but
we know.
Yeah, and but stories are where they get to know you. They get your personality. They can see where your studio is. Oh my gosh! If I painted plein air, you should absolutely do stories in your studio. Show them how you do what you do. Get them interested in a current project that you're working on, whether you're doing 3D art or you're on the pottery wheel, whatever it may be. Show that process because it's really – everybody loves to see how something's created and made. Oh, my gosh. There are so many people.
It's such a glimpse. Yeah.
Oh, when you go to your the highlight page on Instagram – like the people who, when they show calligraphy, are those always the ones that you look at compared to anything else?
Yeah.
Okay. Because it's so cool and it's the process. Think about what gets your attention, and that's what you want to do on stories.
That's great.
You can also put video on your feed and think about that too.
That's true.
I think you only get up to, is it 30 seconds or a minute on your feed? I can't remember.
It's pretty short, but yeah.
And stories now, you can take a long video and pop it up to stories and, you know, it breaks it up for you. And it's so much easier now because before, you know, every video had to be 16 seconds or less and that was kind of a pain. So it's an incredible, powerful tool and it's where it can allow you to be yourself. And people will like you because you are yourself. There's a lot of really perfect people out there on Instagram that are kind of full of themselves, and they have a lot of followers, whatever. That's, to me, not – I don't think that's what Instagram's about. I think it's about being yourself. I think it's about sharing what more about you and your real life, but sharing, not showing. And it's what people are interested in doing. Stories are the how, the demos, what worked, what didn't work, the failure. Hopefully, if you're doing a painting, you take it too far, you can go, oh, I should have. Then you can go back to your video and see where you were and fix it.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I love it.
Okay, so the last tip I'm going to share you was something I learned, and it was huge for me. And it's that events are huge. When I was planning my son's engagement party, I kind of didn't know what I was going to do. I had a theme. And I started on my blog and on my, especially my stories, kind of capturing the very beginning when I was buying these old vintage porch posts because I wanted to build this like outdoor kind of room for 64 people. And I was down at the flower mart trying to find the fabric for the tablecloths. And, I mean, I was dying. It was like 100 degrees, and I went to like 25 stores. And I edited some of that out. But the whole journey, and what I didn't realize is I was building interest as I was going. And this was like over a time of like 2 weeks. And I kind of figured it about halfway through. I'm like, whoa, what is my stories? There's like 25,000 people watching each of my stories. And, I mean, it was really growing. And I thought, oh my gosh. So by the time the engagement party happened, I had people writing me saying, it's our 25th wedding anniversary, but we're staying home tonight because we can't wait to see how the party goes. And I was like, oh my gosh. I had no idea. People were so invested. But they were invested because I showed the process from the very beginning. And I had never done that. I'd always like take pictures and then kind of show it all at once. But if you have an art show coming up, if your stories are all about how you're getting all this together and what's involved, or if you're teaching your first workshop or you're attending a workshop and it's all about the process, what happens is you grab people along the way and they get interested and they want to see how it goes. And I learned so much from doing that engagement party. I mean, it was amazing. So I did the same thing for my Christmas party because
That's
I was
great.
Like, oh, my gosh. And people loved it. And I had no idea that sharing it from the very beginning, and, there were some things that didn't work and I would mention it, and it was amazing. So that's like my biggest tip is you have to grab people and share the process of an event or something that you're doing because they care and they want to learn and they can see that and they're like, oh my gosh. And
it's a very personal connection, right? Your story is showing up on their cell phone, which,
right.
Come on, we always have our cell phones with us. So they're like checking in to see how it's going, whether they're waiting for their car to get filled up with gas or
right.
in the pickup line at school or whatever. So you really are, like, if you think about it, you're in their pocket.
Yeah.
You're in their pocket,
you really
and you're sharing something very personal.
Mm-hmm.
It's very cool.
Yeah. So hopefully this has opened a lot of eyes because – I kind of figured this out as I was doing it. I didn't the first day go, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I learned along the way, and I was inquisitive and kind of watching what was happening and going, okay, that worked and that didn't work, and wow, this is growing fast. I had a lot of lucky breaks. I mean, a month into my Instagram, Better Homes and Gardens, who I tagged because I figured out from one of these big Instagrammers that was a tag you did, so maybe they would re-tag you, and they re-tagged a picture of our house, and I got like 10,000 followers from it. 10,000.
Yeah.
And I did a takeover with Country Home Magazine, and I think I got 8,000 followers from that. So there's a lot of smart things you can do, and you have to kind of – I reached out to Country Home Magazine because a gal I know did it, and I thought, oh, I could do that. I was so terrified. I was so freaked out that I was taking over this huge magazine, their Instagram account, for 3 days. But it was unbelievable.
It.
And then I've been in
Isn't
a ton
fun?
Of magazines. January in American Farmhouse Style, 16 pages. Of our home. And in December, I was on the cover of Flea Market Decor. So it all just kind of happens, and you need to, these opportunities that come up. I'm writing a monthly column for American Farmhouse Magazine now about flea market things that I put in my home. I mean, there's so many opportunities that you can create for yourself. Don't wait and sit back for them to happen. I mentioned American Farmhouse Style. Hey, do you ever have like a monthly columnist? I'd love to do it. And it took them 6 months, and then the editor wrote me and said, hey, let's do this all for 2019. I was like, cool.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, so there's so many ways that you can build your account bigger than it is just by being smart and looking at the big picture. So,
it's so much fun.
It really is.
It's so much fun. I feel like this whole world – that when I say that, I mean social media, it's changing so much, but the opportunities, it really is like your only limit is your imagination in terms of how you can use this. And certainly, you know, for artists, I don't know, I feel like it's a way to reach out and you can do it from your studio. So why not? Why not?
I completely agree. Yeah.
Well, Leslie, nobody does it better, so it is great fun to watch. It seems like you certainly had more successes than failures, and good for you because, this is what we all know we need to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly the artists we talk to are finding success. You know, painting artists are finding successes on here, so there's plenty to go around. I think it's time for everybody to get on there and share.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't
do.
Show.
Every single thing
share.
You do. Yeah. Don't, I like that. Don't show, share. Don't tell me, show me. Don't. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well,
give people a reason to
thank
follow
you.
And
thank
interact.
You for giving all your secrets out once again. Once again.
No, my pleasure. And I really hope that this works and applies to everybody because I think it's not rocket science. It's just kind of a different way of looking at social media. You can do the exact same thing on Facebook, obviously, and Pinterest, for that matter. But, it's important, and it's fun.
All right. Well, get back to it. Thank you.
Yeah, I got to go work my Instagram. No, I'm kidding. Thank you, Margaret.
All right. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.